Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us today. Today is June 28th, 2017, 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you for spreading the word about our radio station. And thank you for reminding your friends you can only find us on the internet. So we really appreciate it. We're a growing station, and we actually do need you to spread the word. So thanks. And I want to give a shout out to Jules. I hope you're doing better. I know you probably might be coming out of surgery this morning, but we hope that you're taking it easy and take your time, and we'll talk to you when you get back. So thanks for joining us this morning. We have Erica Dugan from Oklahoma, who basically is a victim and became an activist because her family was victimized by the technology industry from the fracking, we think. So we don't quite know exactly what it is, but that, again, is part of the issue. So thanks, Erica, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I thought today that we could talk. There's a group of us that have organized under the Center for Health, Environment, and Justice. Our problem is that when they find a type of pollution that has affected your health, we're just the individual pocket of people with these findings, and we succumb to all this alternate fact that gets created against us, and just denial of the science that's been found, and all of that. It's kind of that whole science denier thing you've heard about with climate change, but we experience it on a individual, personal level of, you know, denying our real health conditions that have already been diagnosed before we find what might have caused it and all of that. So there's these pockets of us all over the United States, and we've come together with this group, and this group has asked us to take today and use it as an opportunity to speak out and say enough is enough, specifically for this new healthcare bill. Because the problem that all of us engage in is, you know, what leads us a lot of times to finding that there was a pollution that caused us or is continuing to cause us to stay sick, is that, you know, someone in our family or multiple people in our family get sick and can't get better. And we constantly have to use access to healthcare. We exhaust our financial resources, exhaust our health plans, needing health care over and over, and of course exhaust ourselves, that this pattern just recurs, and we eventually end up finding a cause for why this pattern is recurring. So we continue to need health care. So it's very important to those of us who have been exposed already. It's important to those on your show that listen with fear that something else is going to be done in their community or the constraints or rules are going to change on their power plants or whatever. And, you know, that will affect us all in our health. So the healthcare plan is very important and means a lot for us to find out. What I'm recommending and what this group is recommending is that you contact your senators and your congressmen today and make that something that is a priority for them to understand what you need in that plan. And some of those things that I've already done, there's a contact line at the White House that you can actually contact at any time. And it's a White House comment line. And it goes directly, the comments go directly to President Trump. The phone number is 202-456-1111. So if you want your comments to go to the top, if you want President Trump to, you know, look over the bill when it's finally materialized and make sure it has certain things, this is what might be recommended to do that. You call that comment line. You end up getting a person. You do have to wait. You may have to wait 15, 20 minutes or so, and you'll end up getting an operator. You can even ask the operator what his or her number is, and you have documentation that you called. But basically, they take the comments and they pass them on to President Trump. And you, like in my instance, what I said I want to make sure the new health care plan does is it includes all diseases, because those of us with environmental exposures have found that, you know, maybe they'll cover this disease, but they won't cover that disease. And our diagnoses get shuffled around, sometimes purposely, so they don't cover your disease. So if it includes all diseases, then that would take that problem out. It also would, I ask that they take the power to direct care or withhold payments away from insurers and give it back to our doctors. Our doctors have become pawns of the insurer, especially in cases of environmental health that have been documented, where the insurer tells them what they can or cannot do for you as a patient. And that, of course, is just such a harm and problem in working with healthcare providers that you would put them in that position. I've asked that they provide relief for people who have multiple family members, like direct access to their care if they're a current or a past working family. Things like that. If the private insurer is not going to provide that help and relief, we're going to try to make it go astray. And most importantly, I've asked that the plan would cover environmental health factors and genetics to address those genotoxic changes that happen when you are exposed. And this would help families get their root cause treated instead of just what the health system calls therapeutic treatments or only life-threatening care. Sometimes the insurance will limit your care to only life-threatening care. So then it's upon the insurer directing your care or the provider in the hospital to decide how acute you are and if you get a treatment or not.
This is exactly why I'm opposed to insurance companies. I personally believe in single payer 100%. I think that's the only way that we're going to have people not being going broke, not becoming bankrupt, not being denied care. I mean, if we had single payer, you eliminate the insurance carriers. That's really essentially what you do. I mean, and I mean single payer without insurance companies. I think that we need to turn the whole system of insurance carriers into administrative assistance. Like, we need to take out the middleman, the person who's deciding, no, you don't get that care. The deciding factor ought to be the doctor, what you need. And that's what ought to happen is if the doctor says, right now we have a system where insurance companies convince doctors to misdiagnose or underdiagnose because they don't get paid as much for diagnosing right. certain things. So it's a really, it incentivizes doctors to misdiagnose, underdiagnose, ignore symptoms. I mean, and live in fear because doctors are afraid of being sued all the time. It's completely outrageous. I don't know how anybody can understand that we're so far behind the rest of the world on this whole healthcare thing. We're the only nation on the planet that doesn't offer healthcare to its people, the only first world. And frankly, many of the third world nations, you can go to their doctor and be treated for free. Like, you go to the doctor if you're sick. You don't go to hospital to have a baby and get out with a $30,000 bill if you don't have insurance. And if you do have insurance, you know, you're sort of forced to go to their medical care providers. It's such a shakedown in this country. And I agree, we ought to be calling our... Now, how do people, you want to explain to people how they can find their senators? Because even though they delayed the vote on the Trump care, they're going to come back. Mitch McConnell is sneaky. He's going to come back and try to shove this thing down our throats. He is not interested in America, in my view.
Yeah, well, it is important that you reach out to your congressman or senator that represents you. You know, there are exceptions to that rule. You can look through the media and see who is your congressman or senator or who is another senator that has been very active on this healthcare bill that is, you know, on your side. There is one from Missouri who is being very active in speaking out. She's only supposed to speak out for her representatives, but for her constituents from her area. But I think she has become so vocal, it wouldn't hurt if you have a similar story that matches one that she spoke up about and you can say, hey, that's true for me too. I think that would just help to, you know, back things up, put more evidence.
Are you talking about Susan Collins or Claire McCaskill?
No, Claire McCaskill. Yeah. And, yeah. So if you find someone that you share their common beliefs or what they're sharing from their constituents, I don't think it could hurt to say, hey, this is my situation too, because we're all in this together as Americans. But if you want them to specifically help you or speak up for something on your behalf, it first has to be something on their agenda that they're speaking about anyway, so that you understand, and then they can kind of figure through your details, but it is their job to consider you as their constituent. So it would be good for you to Google, if you don't know any other way, to find out who that is that's representing you, and you're not political, and you really haven't kept up on that. You could just Google, House of Representatives and look up your district and all of that and then find out who it is. You could
there's a great website. You can just type in who's my representative, who's my federal who are my elected officials. And when you type that up, a website, I don't know the, let me see, I'll do it right now, officials. There's a website up that you can actually type in. And it's a really easy way to find it. It's elected officials. It's called electedofficials.gov, really. It's a government-run thing where you can just automatically get hooked into. You put your zip code in, and it tells you who your representatives are. Also, there's another really great group that's Common Cause. They will tell you who your representatives are. Do the same thing. That'll pop up. So anytime you move, or even if you don't know, and especially every election, like, your elected officials change every few years. People aren't exactly the same. So it is important especially after elections, to find out who is it that's there, especially at the state level too. That's another issue is our state representatives. Sometimes they quietly do stuff that support some of the what we call misdeeds at the federal level. So you want to stay on top of that.
Yeah, so USA.gov is an easy one to remember as you listen, USA.gov.
That's it.
Gives you access to your members of Congress, your senators, your representatives, breaks it all down for you. So that'd be a good place to start. And you can make today the day you define to do that, because anymore we all have a story. We all have a father or grandfather who's falling into the donut hole that thinks they're not going to take their medication anymore because it costs too much when they're in the donut hole. I mean, we all have different healthcare insurance stories. We're struggling to take care of our elders in addition to struggling to take care of ourselves with our exposures. You know, there's lots of stories out there. There's lots of us that need to share those pieces of our stories, but you just want to figure out, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? What do you want to make sure this plan covers that maybe it's not covering already, or that you're afraid the talk in the back room is going to take away because they don't know your situation? So I guess that's what you need to define. What are the main things I see that they might not address, or that we're having trouble living through right now, is maybe how you focus. And then that's your call, that's your fax, that's your email. That's how you put it together and decide it, and just tell them those things simply and quickly. Understand that they're not going to have time to read about your whole story, but they could have time to read your bullet points of what you want.
Right. And make them bullet points when you call. This is the thing. Like, it does matter, even though they took the vote off, because they want to take the pressure off of themselves. They don't want people calling up. People were calling up. I mean, people were showing up at their district offices. People were showing up at their federal offices. People were very, very concerned over what was in this bill because of the amount of. And frankly, they had to make it secret because it was such a disaster if people knew. And they rightly did stand up to it. So when people say, oh, my voice doesn't matter, it actually does matter. I mean, it really, really does matter. The more people stand up, they will actually, this is the thing about democracy. They're not going to just do it voluntarily because they have an incentive of greed if we ignore them. But if we push them, they'll actually create decent legislation that will protect us. I mean, it's up to us to make the democracy work. That's how I feel that very strongly.
And you need to speak up for your sick neighbors and your sick family members, because we've been in that, we go into these cycles of illness where your systems are so affected, you're just trying to figure out how you're going to survive the day. You're not going to make a call to your senator, you're not going to do that because you're just trying to fight through your health for the day. So we need family members. We need other people who have witnessed things in their lives to say, hey, this isn't supposed to be this hard. We need you to make it where it's not so hard on my family member. And we need you to make it where these people who have worked their whole lives and, paid for entitlements in the system don't feel like they're lost and they have no help and they just don't know what to do. So, that's what we need people to stand up and say for others. We have to be our brother's keepers, I guess, and we have to take care of our community, because it's the healthy people out there making these decisions, and that's not always going to make it the right plan. So we need people to speak up for those who aren't healthy and say what we need.
Not only that, we have people making decisions who have great health care, who have lifetime health care, who can never be turned off their health care. We have people making decisions like one of the most shocking thing about the health care bill was there wasn't a single woman on the panel. There wasn't anybody in the gang of 13 making a decision. It was all a bunch of men making a decision that prenatal care would no longer be covered on health care insurances. Like that was a stunning assault on families, I felt. That's one of the best things that, you know, insurance companies can do. I mean, that's a basic thing for healthcare companies is covering pregnancies, right? Like everyone wants to get their insurance before they get pregnant because it's expensive. And if you have an emergency while you're pregnant, while, you know, you're delivering, you could end up with a huge bill. And so for them not to cover prenatal care or make it mandatory for health insurance companies to cover pregnancies was an outrageous idea. You know, that was one of the things in this bill was they took away the mandate to cover pregnancy. So this was just a targeted, it's going to be very interesting, Erica, to see what's going to happen when they get back, because I believe they're going to go after tax cuts, they say, before they do the health care bill, because this was actually a tax cut. This is really essentially what it was. This was a tax cut for the rich. That's the whole thing. That's why they're gutting. That's why they took, what I read this morning, $3.9 billion with a B dollars out of the program that helped Hanford manage its budget, manage its waste up there in Hanford. They're cutting out vital services for very catastrophic. In fact, they're trying to sell, and I would strongly, again, on, you know, this is my thing. I really think today, yes, the last 3 days inside the committee of the House and Commerce Committee, they have, it was up on the docket, and we haven't seen if they're actually brought it up yet. But it is this new bill I've been ranting and raving about, the Simcus bill, H.R. 3053, Nuclear Waste Policy Amendments Act of 2017. We need to call this Commerce and Energy Committee, and you can go to Donna Gilmore's page at sunandofreesafety.org. She has links that will tell you exactly. She gives you a link directly to the members, a list of the members, and you just click on each one of those names and call them. I mean, there are people from like Oregon District 2, Greg Walden, he runs the Energy and Commerce Committee. Joe Barton from Texas, District 6. It tells you what districts they're from. And you can actually call up these people because this kind of a bill needs to be stopped in committee. It ought never see the light of day. The bill itself takes away our water and utility rights. I mean, it's an unconscionable bill. I do not know how anybody could even have written it, to be honest. It's written completely by the nuclear industry. They're trying to sell. What they're trying to do, basically, is privatize our nuclear waste. They're trying to sell it to private corporations and wash their hands of it. The federal government wants to wash its hands of the nuclear waste. So I don't know how you feel about that, Erica, but I feel very strongly like these are things we need to do. Call up our elected officials and say, we deserve decent health care. As Americans, we deserve decent health care. And this is what's going on. Everyone has a story of what's going on in their own personal family. Someone that they know has been affected somehow.
Well, and you gave, what was the website you gave for that? And like, if you don't understand the specifics of that energy bill and.
Oh, well, you can go to Donna Gilmore from San Onofre Safety, SanOnofreSafety.org, San Onofre, just like the nuclear power plant, San Onofre Safety.org. Donna's whole thing, you know, she's become an expert on waste and nuclear waste because she was part of the movement to shut down that broken nuclear power plant in Southern California, the San Onofre nuclear power plant, which got closed down several years ago. And then she started looking, well, what are we going to do with this waste? And so now it's almost like a full-time job for her, to be honest. Like how they're managing this waste is just shocking. There's a lot to discover on her page of San Onofre Safety. But on her homepage, this is her. She's actually a government expert witness on this. She's gone before Congress and talked about all these things. She actually studied the bill. She told me she's going to come on next week. She told me it took her like 3 days of just reading. She had to literally print out one bill because they were like, they would say, insert this, strike this from this bill. And the language was not clear. It took her a couple days just to read it. But this is super important. Like it's eliminating the requirements to have an environmental impact report. It eliminates that completely. It eliminates state and local water and air rights and federal water rights. It eliminates the federal water rights. The federal government will no longer have water if they pass this nuclear, will no longer have water rights if this Nuclear Waste Policy Amendments Act of 17 gets passed. That is shocking. And the reason we don't have water rights, they're giving up our rights, is because they want to sell this nuclear waste to private industry. Because it's so expensive, the government doesn't want to deal with it anymore. It's shirking its responsibility for the massive waste that it's caused. This is a shocking bill, just like this healthcare bill that they're trying to shove down our throats. It's shocking that they don't want to cover birth. You know what I mean? Like that is to me. And the cuts to Medicaid and actually the cuts to people with catastrophic diseases. It's stunning the things that they're attempting to do.
Well, and I, as a journalist, I always ask myself, you know, why are they doing that? What is making someone think that and think that it's okay to do that? And I've asked myself that with, you know, if you're not going to cover certain things for a pregnancy or a woman's choice or, you know, whatever, why are they making those decisions? And all I can guess is they're thinking, you know, that younger population is the healthier working population and maybe they can afford it. But I know from working in marketing at the hospital and seeing those families whose babies are born with so many problems and they're young and they, you know, they don't have a big savings yet. Sure, they have a good job. But they don't have a big savings yet. And it's just overwhelming. I mean, I've seen families leave a child because they're overwhelmed. And I think that's wrong that someone would feel that they can't afford to care for their child that was born with these problems that are really beyond their control. And so, you know, those are things that have to be planned for and thought about and dealt with more on a case-by-case basis. And that goes back to the doctors having the power to deal with those things and on a case-by-case basis and not some blanket that decides, yes, we're covering this, yes, no, we're not. So it needs to be more flexible and open for those individual situations because we all have individual cells, we all have individual needs. Even when we're all exposed to the same thing, we manifest it differently. So,
exactly.
Even in your own family, like if you were all exposed to the same amount of chemical and you had two kids that were about the same size, about the same age, it's going to manifest differently. So you're going to have different needs, and everybody needs to be able to be looked at differently. Our doctors were taught to listen to each patient's problems and decide them and not jump over the usual suspects and treat everybody like a horse until they become a zebra, and you're sure they're a zebra, and then treat the zebra. And they were taught that, but we're making them do... You know, we're making them try to put square pegs in round holes, and that's just...
And we also, while doctors get paid a lot, they also get mistreated in terms of their work environment. A lot of doctors are required, you know, they're not allowed to stay more than 10 or 15 minutes with the patient. They're not allowed, they're supposed to work 10, 12, 15, 18 hours. I mean, what an insane system that we have here. It's a slave mentality, honestly, for real. Like it's, to me, this is where we really need to, this is why healthcare, frankly, this is why I think these personal attacks have been going on about Bernie Sanders, is they want to demean this whole thing about Bernie Sanders' wife being investigated for stealing. That's all just a bunch of junk, in my view, from what I've read about it. It's just political hooey to destroy him ethically, because he is really the voice for single-payer health care. And there is no way the insurance companies are scared to death right now that Americans are going to insist on single payer. Because frankly, you know, the whole thing with Obamacare, the rules, eventually, if you paid the maximum penalty in 2000, was coming up in 18. If you pay the maximum penalty, you're entitled to Medicare in the rules or the old rules. That's how it was. I mean, maybe that's partly why they're going after it. Maybe they haven't taken that part of the rule out. But if you had to pay the maximum penalty in the final year, if you just absolutely refused to participate in the program, because the penalty would be quite stiff, several thousand dollars a year, quite a bit of money. If you had to pay that, then you would be entitled to Medicare. So, I mean, this is, to me, it just does, I just do not understand Americans defending insurance companies. I can't comprehend it at all. I mean.
Well, I guess we don't know how we would do it any other way. It's all that we've ever known.
Yeah, but you know what? That's what their propaganda line is, because there are for sure two good solid bills that would expand Medicare for all. It's a system that's already working, already set up. Yes, it has its issues, but our elderly people do get to go to the doctor. They do get to see people. The donut hole would go away, that problem with the donut hole. In fact, that was reinstituted. We did not have a donut hole until Trump came back in the office. He reinstituted the donut hole recently. So this is the whole plan.
I think we had it anyway. We had it anyway last year. I'm really sure we did.
And they didn't have it. Well, this is the thing. There's legislation already written that could easily roll it out within 3 months. And then if you want different insurance, you can pay for it. I mean, if you want to have if you can afford better insurance, knock yourself out. But everybody in America ought to have basic health care. And it fundamentally, what it gets down to is the insurance companies, because the way it's set up right now is, I think Humana is the largest carrier for that. We still have private insurance sort of managing it. And that's what they're afraid of, is that the private insurances will go away. And frankly, you know, when Obamacare got set up, it was set up, Tom Daschle was the kind of the overseer of Obamacare. That's he went through it. I think that was his name. He retired. His wife sits on the board of Humana. So they had the sticky fingers of all these people. I mean, we had the American Medical Association, most of their doctors signed a petition to bring in single-payer health care. Please let people get taken care of in our country. We give so much money to the military. We give money to foreign military. We pay for other people's military, and we cannot pay for our own children and our own elderly people to be taken care of medically. It's unnecessary for us to be in this position. You know.
Well, yeah. Well, Medicaid is important for everybody to learn about and think about as well. And most people think, well, that doesn't affect me because I'm working, I'm middle class, I'm upper class. It doesn't affect me. Well, yes, it does, because if your parent became sick, couldn't work anymore, lost their insurance, couldn't get through the disability system early enough to help them, they would become Medicaid. And so, yes, it concerns all of us. And what our hospitals in Oklahoma have cried and said time and time again is we have to fix the Medicaid system, because the majority of our patients who are using our facilities are Medicaid.
Mm-hmm. We do need to fix the Medicaid system. Do you know that they found that, remember when Obama came in and they said, well, we're going to look at our healthcare system. And most of this was kind of the interesting thing about Humana. Humana is the primary insurance company for Medicaid. I think more than a third, if my recollection is right, more than a third of the fraud inside the Medicaid system came from the Humana insurance company, double billing, triple billing Medicare. They found millions of dollars just finding overbilling. I mean, it is really a huge issue. And now, do you have experience with people on the Medicare, Medicaid system yourself?
Yes.
And what's your experience with that system? Is it a decent system? Does it work?
No, I don't think, like, if we all moved to Medicare and Medicaid, we'd all be saved. No. No, I don't think that at all. I guess with the single-payer system, you're talking about moving to a universal health care, and maybe it'd be like we all took Medicare, Medicaid, and then we'd all be good. But, you know, that may be a solution. But in my state, which I do know that your state handles things in a much more diplomatic way. I've gone to conferences with people with our same disease set that, you know, they tell me how they're treated in your state versus our state. And I guess it's your state has a bigger population to feed the money for those programs. So I would say your state gets a little more than we get. But no, our Medicare patients have issues with care. Our Medicaid patients have issues with care. But what I do see on the Medicaid care side, on the Medicare side, and for those that don't know the difference, Medicare would be what you'd use if you were working and became disabled or if you're retired. And Medicaid would be if something cuts that short too early and you're pushed into a poverty status or you were born into a poverty status. That's kind of the difference. It's a level of income as to decide which one you're on. The Medicaid side is supported solely by your state, is my understanding, and the Medicare side has federal backing and federal, I think there may be a piece of it that is still provided by the state, but I'm not really clear on that. But what I see is that our Medicaid has, it looks like, gotten worse and worse and worse, and access to it has gotten worse. So what they've
done. Well, that's probably because it's state funded, right? Mostly. Like the money is going away for the state because states are struggling.
Right. And our state in particular is, and you know, we were offered this Medicaid expansion and our hospital said, you absolutely have to find a way to take that because I need it. But our governor said, I can't take it. And she didn't take it. And there's other governors that didn't take it. And it was my understanding, I'm not an expert on this in any way at all, but it was my understanding that the federal would give you money for that program for the first couple of years, and then the state had to provide it. And we had such a large base of people that would go on that, it was just unfathomable for our government to see how they could, yeah, it would be great to take the money for the first couple of years, but then how are we going to do that?
Well, see, that was, this is how the legislation, but this is how, this is the reason why that, I believe this is the logic behind it, was why that was passed like that, because you take it for a few years to see how many people actually provide for it. And then if it's a required thing, then the Senate can actually work out to help those states who need the help. For the ones who say, yeah, okay, because there was a lot of unknowns, because we don't know. People are so underserved. We don't know who's going to be taking advantage of it. And this is the real issue of, this is why I think these issues of, it shouldn't be the state. This is my objection, in fact, to separating a lot of these programs by state, because some states are poor. Some states don't have the money to provide school services and don't have the money to provide health care programs for their people. But a lot of other states have an excess of money. And so when people pay from to the federal government, when we put it into one pool, the federal government can dish it out per the population's needs, not according to whether the state says yes or no. I think we ought to just take care of, I'm firmly against this whole charter destroying the public school system. And I was not happy with the public school system. I think it could use an overhaul, but I think what we need to do is get corporations out of the public school system. We need to stop making our schools they're already for profit. I mean, the books, if you buy a book at school, it's so expensive. If your child destroys a school book, instead of being $30, it's going to be $80 or $90.
And I think that corporate charter was, you know, the stores of money were running out on the government side, so they had to come up with another solution. They had to find a way to fund with
That's called tax the rich. Let's just talk reality. We send 51 cents of every dollar to the war machine in this country. We are bombing people that we don't even know for reasons, you know, we do know, because they want, these rich American corporations want everybody's stuff. That's what we're supporting. I firmly think that we need to demand. I think we're not going to get our financial house in order until we say, CIA, you are no longer unaccountable. Let's see your budget. If they say we can't see it, we say, fine, from here on out, you're going to supply us with a budget before you get one more dollar. And same thing with the military. They have lost $10 trillion. Trillion with a TR. Like, that's outrageous. Our country is only has a deficit of 545 billion. That's not even a trillion. So if they would have not lost one of those trillion, we would have a surplus in our country. We could pay for our healthcare system with the money they lost that they can't account for. Like, that's how much money we give them. We could pay for a children's education to go to college and trade school and healthcare with $10 trillion. Come on. We're having the wrong conversation. This is people eking out Medicare. I don't know. Sorry, Erica. Yeah. Can you tell you hit a nerve?
But that's all right. I just see where in respect to our environmental problems we've experienced, these are the main things to focus on. This is how we address things. This is how we recover. But of course, it's the right plan. It's not just a plan. It's the right plan. So we need to speak up and say, what is the right plan? What should be in the right plan?
Right.
While the people making those decisions to decide what those elements are. And
it's true.
I think if you have on Medicare, Medicaid, they are still being scrutinized to, you know, those are being provided more and more by the private insurance sector. So it is all coming to one plan, and it is all coming to private insurance, whether we like it or not. And so whatever this plan is, does affect all of us. It does affect your elder on Medicare, because they'll have that Part B or Part D or, you know, whatever they choose that's provided by Humana, that's provided by Blue Cross, that's provided by someone else. So this health plan is important to all of us, whether it's what we want or not.
And were you helped by Obamacare? Was your family aided by Obamacare?
No, I can tell you. Not in the actual care we've received, but we were placed in, you know, let's see, we had been double insured and worked hard and paid for two plans and met all of our co-pays and our deductibles in like the first 2 months of every year on both plans. Just to get what our children needed and to, you know, try to keep figuring this out. And that happened for years and years and years until I got sick. And then we lost, you know, my ability to hold insurance, my ability to bring in pay, and my husband had to go to a harder working job, more hours, working those physician level type hours, you know, 18-hour days or whatever, to try to make up for my lost income, and then wearing himself out. And then things got volatile once we had our findings with the doctor's offices, where I had to have a witness. I couldn't just even go to doctor's appointments by myself with the kids. I couldn't even drive myself sometimes because I was too ill, and I hired a nurse to drive me sometimes. So we had that money out of pocket, paying a nurse to drive me, paying a nurse to listen to what was said on the days my husband couldn't take off work. So this is kind of how it all flowed. And where was I going with that? But you had asked me
if you were affected by Obamacare.
Yeah. At one point, we had to work with a rare disease group that helped us so we wouldn't lose our insurance, because we just got to the point where we couldn't afford everything anymore. And that rare disease group stepped up and they said, you know, we do for people with your diagnosis and these medications you're on to make sure you don't lose your insurance is we help you to pay your premiums. And they look through your taxes and your private financial information. They decide how much they need to help you. And they helped us with that. And you know what Obamacare did is Obamacare really did kind of that same thing. That's what they did for us. But then they made it where that would be taken away. So when we first came on to Obamacare, it was really great for us. It gave us a little freedom and a little breathing room because we were meeting the income qualifications to get some assistance from the system. And we were still able to keep our premium assistance. So then we could focus on using what, you know, money we had left that wasn't being stolen from us yet, being given to doctors and hospitals to, you know, try to figure out other things. And that basically got nipped. We started getting letters from our insurance company that said we could not accept any more premiums assistance from this group unless we had this diagnosis instead of this diagnosis. Basically, they told us, unless we had AIDS, we do not have AIDS. We have a genetic problem where our body doesn't make antibodies to fight illnesses, which is somewhat what happens to people who have the AIDS virus, but it's much different. It's just like our bone marrow doesn't make the cells to bite, and theirs is the virus is inhibiting things, not letting them bite. So it's different. So there was a child.
When they say genetic, does this mean like it's been in your family a long time?
Not always when you're exposed to things. Well,
they just call it genetic.
All of us have different genetic changes to ourselves that have occurred as a part of natural selection through the decades. We all have that. But different environmental factors will turn on genetics and sometimes turn them off. But more often what we worry about and have problems with is what it turns on. So you can be exposed to something and you have those genetics there and it will turn it on is how we've been educated by multiple geneticists and people who work in research, and that's how they've explained it to us that they've learned through the decades. And they can even see, one person recently told me they can see where it goes all the way back to the Mayflower. They can trace a family, you know, five decades back or whatever, and even further, and take it back and see where, you know, they came over with this, but those things weren't turned on in these family members, but then something happened and they were exposed to this and those things turned on. So
I get it. Okay, now I understand. Okay, that makes sense.
And that's why we call genotoxic, because a toxin can turn on the genetic. That's what genotoxic I've...
Genotoxic. Okay. Right. That's a new term.
An exposure, like these nuclear waste that you're worried about, things getting into the water.
Yeah, why one person gets something and another one doesn't, it has to do with the genotoxicity of it. Like one thing triggers something in one person, but not in another, because of their genes.
Right. Okay. And some things are like, you might have a child with blue eyes and you have a child with brown eyes from the same parent. You know, it's the same kind of thing. You have those disease genes inside that turn on and turn off. And that's kind of how that all works. But, they basically said if we weren't protected under Ryan White, like the people who, Ryan White was a child who contracted AIDS through the blood supply. He had hemophilia. And he struggled with some of the same struggles that we've been struggling with, but for different reasons, because people were afraid they were going to be around him at school or wherever and catch his disease and it would be deadly to them. So Ronald Reagan stepped up and made this Ryan White program, and he had Michael Jackson and some other leaders in social community stand up for him before he died. He ended up dying right before he graduated, I think, from high school. But he ended up being a leader to say, you can't do this to us. We didn't do anything wrong. We didn't, my parents didn't have a behavioral situation. I was someone who was ill who caught it through the blood supply. But anyway, they made a program for him, Ryan White, that helps pay for premiums and helps with these exorbitant costs that mm-hmm. other people like that deal with. And they basically sent me a letter from Blue Cross saying that I could not use my premium assistance. If they found that I was getting my premium assistance, they would, you know, cancel me, not let me have my insurance. And I
why?
I was just appalled. I was like, this is America. You can tell me who can help me and who cannot.
Did you take a photo of that and put it up on Twitter and post it to our senators? That's what you should do. You know, they watch Twitter, especially now in the Trump nation. They watch Twitter. I started going to Twitter for that reason, because that's actually where they communicate. You can post a lot of information and you can see their conversation. They're affected by it just as much as if we called them. In fact, I think it's probably more.
I was told by someone in the legal channels that if I wrote them a letter and told them they couldn't do that to me, then they couldn't do it anymore. And so I did. I wrote Blue Cross a letter and told them that. So then what happened is the group that was assisting me sent me a letter and said that they've made changes to their program and they can no longer assist me. And my Social Security attorney that was helping fight to get that for us, to get us off of the constraints of the private insurance, those kind of crazy things, and how they take away our medicine from our children and leave them with infections. They were trying to help us with that. Coincidentally, they're not helping us with that anymore. Like, they're not going to help us with our appeals or anything. So someone really got in the middle of our relationship there. Huh. And they found our relationship through our assistance that was helping us to go to the insurance company, whether that's environmental related, whether that's healthcare mess related. I don't think I'll ever know, but that was clearly one of the many elements of corruption that we've experienced, and is just wrong when you find a way. So basically, since we got the assistance from the Obamacare, which the only assistance we got, it hasn't improved our access to care, which I know it has for other people who just didn't even have insurance. So I'm grateful for them for that. But it hasn't improved our payments to our doctors. Are we still having doctors patient dump us? Yes, we are. Because
it also still has not improved the doctor's work environment. I vehemently, as you can tell probably, oppose how American Medical treats the whole system, the patients, the doctors, the nurses, to ask people to go to work who are taking care of very sick people and who are at their weakest, to go to a hospital or a doctor's office and not allow them to spend the time they feel they need, to just rush in, rush out, and be responsible for very serious illnesses. I mean, it is part and parcel for the whole profit over people mentality. That's really at the heart of it.
And it used to be when you had a problem with the process, there was a whole process where when you spoke up, the facilities, there was a lot of, backlash. Like if you spoke up that they let your child go home without the infection fully treated, then there was this whole group that came in and investigated that and figured that out. And that's been more limited. And that's been retaliation in my state. If you report something about a provider, it used to be against the law, and it used to be a group would come in and they'd get in a lot of trouble for that, and they were scared to do things wrong because there were penalties for doing things wrong to you. But I've seen that change because I knew some of the channels that you were supposed to report things to, and really when I reported things, I actually got retaliation, and I actually, had people bully me in the doctor's office, treat me terribly. Like, maybe they got a little talking to, but they weren't afraid. They were like, what are they going to do to me? All they're going to do is talk to me. And so now I'm just going to be mean to you because you told on me. It was just kind of some weird bullying situation, like a schoolyard kind of thing. And that's
When did that happen to you? What year? When did that happen to you?
Oh, it continues. It continues to happen to me. It started happening to us very badly in 2014. And it continues. Just recently, we had a situation where we had a office manager tell my husband that my child could not go into the doctor because the insurance had not paid them. And he said, well, I'm sorry, you know, you have the contract with them and we've paid all of our part. I don't know why they haven't paid you.
Wow.
And we can look into this. And they're like, well, you can't come in unless you pay me $250 today. And he called me and he's like, is this right? I'm like, no, it's not right.
Wow.
And then they tried to say, well, it's because you didn't pay your premium last month. And I had happened to get that statement from the federal that shows the marketplace where you mm-hmm. paid all the premiums. I was like, really? Because that month would have been December, and I have the statement right here. I'll fax it over to you. So I faxed it over, and they said, oh, wow, it looks like, maybe that's not it. Oh, I think it's just that you had a copay, dude. No, this was the end of the year, and we've met all of our
deductibles. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Do I need to show you where we've met our out-of-pocket, you know, boss? And they said, no. And it turns out our insurance company had just not liked that they were stepping up and treating our immune deficiency again. So they were threatening to not pay them or take away payments that they had already given them. And so the clinic was, you know, feeling desperate, going, we can't just have them doing this to all of our patients. We won't survive.
Wow.
So we're just going to put pressure on our patients to say, you have to pay me or I'm not going to see you because no one's paying me. But they can't say, they can't tell you why your insurance company isn't paying them because it says in their contract that they can't say anything contrary to the insurance.
Wow. Wow.
So it's become.
I am so sorry you have to go through that. That is horrible.
Yeah. And so other people, I'm sure, go through these things too. And you just don't know until you're in that.
This is the ridiculousness of it. We need a makeover of our medical system, of our military, of our infrastructure. We need our government to actually function and not be at the behest of profit over people. If we're going to have a government, it's for the people, of the people, and by the people. Not corporations, corporations, corporations. This is why people today should call their senators and tell them, even when the Republicans come back, we expect them not to accept the Republican plan unless it is actually transformed into something that will improve on the disaster that was imposed on us by Obama. That's kind of the basic. Nobody likes Obamacare, but what we've got before that is nothing. So you can't replace a bad plan with absolutely nothing. That's going from bad to worse. Give us something that's at least half decent, makes an improvement with someone. So, Erica, and we have a minute left. We have just about a minute left. And I want to, before we get into our last words, I want to thank you for being willing to come on the air and stand up for America and share your story.
Sure, sure. I hope that more people will. That's the only way we're going to get to a place of relief and recovery. And that's our goal, is for relief and recovery for people.
Yeah. So we've got 30 seconds left, you guys. Please do Google, who is my senator? If you don't already know, get their phone number, call them up. And if this healthcare is not your bag, Lynn, find something, because it's important that we stay engaged and we make our democracy work for us. It's up to us. We have to lean into it. It's our responsibility. So,
and that comment line is 202-456-1111. And I think the website is again.
That's perfect. It's whitehouse.gov. Talk to you guys later. Hope you get better, Jules.
This is JJ Inc.